Transmission commence in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Level 7.
RandomChatter.com presents
the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
Do you copy?
Perimeter breach.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case files.
Authorizing.
Just call us S.H.I.E.L.D.
Access granted.
Colson, get back to base.
Welcome back, agents. I trust you've all been suitably briefed on the most recent encounter. We'll be your hosts on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. I'm Director Shepard.
And I'm Director Stolte.
And you have been authorized to undergo debriefing on the most recent mission from Agent Coulson and his operatives, presented to the public as a dramatic hour-long television series known as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fortunately, you have all been cleared to know the truth. I think we're going to be getting into some deep investigations today. So, Josh, you want to investigate us here? Tell us what we're investigating.
I need to ask you some questions here, so you can see if you can figure out what we're talking about.
Oh,
game show time.
Ooh.
All right,
cool.
Let's play the $20,000 pyramid. Are you ready?
Oh, I love this game.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna give you some clues. So you've got to guess what we're talking
about.
All right,
So you give me clues, and then I'm gonna guess what they have in common, and that'll be like the theme of the show.
Correct.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay. Treasure chests.
Things on Dolly Parton's front.
Johnny Depp in Dark Shadows.
Oh. Things that suck.
Jimmy Hoffa.
Things way out in left field.
Buffalo, New York in the winter.
Oh, the things we bury.
Yes.
Oh, gee.
Nice.
Awesome. That was good.
That was
the name of the episode this week.
That is the name of the episode, and that is what we're going to do. We're going to bury
Sweet.
Things. No. We're
no.
going to uncover things.
We are going to uncover things.
Lack of bury. No.
You know, you were the one that Mom liked the best.
I
just need to get back. I just don't know anymore.
I have to tell you, I really was. I was the one that Mom liked best. So you're just going to have to deal with it, okay? It's, you know.
What are we, the Smothers Brothers all of a sudden?
Oh, that was. I didn't mean to go there. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, so why don't you give us some stats on this, and we'll get into the episode. Because, I mean, I just started typing notes, and I don't think I've stopped yet. There's so much to talk about.
My note page that I use as I'm watching the episode went on the back, which hardly ever happens. So
that hardly ever happens, right.
Yes, so that's good. All right, this episode, Things We Bury. That is bury, B-U-R-Y, not Things We Bury. This is not a Flash episode.
No,
from the CW.
That's on our other show on Scarlet Velocity.
That's Other Things We Bury.
Look for that tomorrow.
Okay. Things We Bury was episode 8 from season 2, and it aired on November 18th of 2014. It was written by Daniel J. Doyle and directed by Milan Chelov.
Very nice.
And it has. It's been a hell of a day, hasn't it?
It has been a hell of a day.
It has. So, well, before we get into today, Sherman set the Wayback Machine to 1945, because that is where Mr. Peabody will find SSR agent Peggy Carter. And she's infiltrated the evil lair of Dr. Reinhardt, where he's playing a game of truth or obelisk. So, you can tell him the truth, or here, touch this. Now, the obelisk, now, it favors a mysterious woman. So Reinhardt takes her and puts her in a cage to be studied. But Agent Carter's there just in time to rescue her and lock Reinhardt up forever, which is, 44 years in evil Hydra dog years. That's how you work out that math.
Okay. Good to know.
44 years, yeah. But that's when our future Captain America nemesis, Undersecretary Pierce, sets him free to continue his gruesome work. Meanwhile, in the present, Grant Ward pursues his sadistic brother, Christian, to get him to confess the truth about their past. And he's pretty good at getting that done. But on the other side, Coulson, Skye, and Trip, they're globetrotting to find the location of the hidden alien city that was revealed to us last week. But Daniel Whitehall is on that trail, too. So Mockingbird is going to find out as much as possible about Whitehall from their new prisoner friend and gift from Ward, Bakshi. And boy, is she good, man. She because of that intel that she uncovered, they discover that Reinhardt is Finkel. Finkel is Reinhardt.
Oh, my God.
Wait. Not Finkel. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of somebody else. Reinhardt is Whitehall.
Oh, right. Okay.
Whitehall. Excuse me. Yes. Reinhardt is Whitehall. And just how does the quick to temper, incredibly creepy doctor fit into all this? Well, that's what we're going to discuss this week.
He's totally cool as long as you don't mention Sky. That's not her name. Oh, my God.
Must be one of those names, you know, that people mispronounce your entire life, and then you just start to get frustrated every time you hear it wrong. That probably doesn't happen to you very often.
No. That's just a single syllable name, you know, very easy. So that's good. Okay, well, we got just a couple pieces of news here. One is that, I had here that season one is coming to Netflix, but as we're recording this, I got the email earlier today, and I posted it on our Facebook. Season one is on Netflix, so, better 8 episodes late than never. You can, if you need to go back and watch any of season one and you have Netflix, you can stream those episodes to your favorite device using your Netflix account right now.
I can put it on my favorite device?
You can.
My favorite device is my vintage X-Wing. My Star Wars X-Wing.
Oh, okay. Your favorite iOS or Android device or television?
Oh, dang. Okay. All right.
Sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
Okay.
Still good, but yeah, it's not my favorite
device. You know, I mean, maybe your obelisk will get it too. I don't know. But and then next week is a...
I wonder if you can get Pandora on the obelisk.
You know what? Maybe when they open it up, it will be like a Pandora's box. Very, very prescient.
I like how you did that.
To use a sports analogy, which I know a lot of our geek friends here who listen to shows about comic books and stuff may not understand, but next week is a bye week on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but they will be back and will be back the following week to discuss the mid-season finale, which airs on December 2nd. And then following that, they will be off until January when Agent Carter starts. And then Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. won't be back until March.
What?
Yeah, I know. Can you imagine? It's going to be like 3 months. We're literally 3 months off from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But we're still going to be getting that S.H.I.E.L.D. goodness because we're going to be getting 2 months of Agent Carter. So it's really only like, you know, a month off with no new shows. Just for December.
And I have a feeling it's going to be... very connected to Agent Carter in some ways, at least based on what we've seen so far.
Hashtag, it's all connected.
It's all connected.
Yeah, we've been discussing at work what it's going to focus on, what Agent Carter's going to focus on. I was thinking it was going to be a little bit more about, Reinhardt and Whitehall, but then they kind of told us all about him in this episode. And I'm like, well, okay, I don't know what they're going to cover now. So
they've got something even more sinister in store.
Yes, that would be really cool. And it sounds like the mid-season finale is, I was thinking, I think we talked about it last week. It's like, oh, it's going to take them a while to find this city. Nope, I think they find it, like, now.
Good.
Boom, city. But what happens when they find the city? That will be the cliffhanger right there, I guess.
They should walk into the city with, like, cameras around their necks and, like, Hawaiian shirts and shorts and, yeah. No, just tourists. Tourists in alien city.
Well, there'll be all these little mini obelisks you can buy as like, trinkets you can take home.
Little chocolate obelisks and Lego obelisks.
I'm thinking that they'll have the string on them you can tie them around your neck, and every time somebody touches them that makes that sound from the Brady Bunch episode where they go to Hawaii.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Doo-doo-doo.
And a t-shirt that says, my parents went to the hidden city and all I got was this obelisk t-shirt.
All right. So, let's talk a little bit about how they came to find the city and some other things in the things that we bury. And pretty much, I think everything in this episode was buried at some point. You can use that term. And the phrase, things that were buried, shows up a couple times even. I think
kind of just going in order here, I want to talk about Agent Carter and S.H.I.E.L.D. When they kidnap Reinhardt, they bury him. Peggy Carter actually says, you know, I will bury you so deep, you know, no one's going to come for you. No one will remember your work. I mean, she's really vindictive. I was surprised at how, I guess, stern she was about this. You know, there was no humor in any of this. And not that there should be, because obviously it sounds like the way that Reinhardt worked was kind of like Joseph Mengele. You know, the real life Nazi doctor that was doing all sorts of weird experiments on people.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I don't know him personally, but yes, I know who you're talking about.
You are familiar with his work. So she's going to bury him. And of course, I believe his response to that is, well, you know, things don't stay buried forever. And that's kind of one of those, turns of phrase that we hear a lot. What were your thoughts about the interrogation scenes and stuff with Carter and Reinhardt? Did you like those? Hate them?
Yes.
Was it too much?
Too much?
Yeah.
No, I actually liked them. It kind of reminded me of, you know, like the Silence of the Lambs kind of things a little bit, you know. But
Interesting.
I almost thought, I mean, you know, not to that extent, but I mean, just the sort of vibe.
Yeah, I know where you're going. Yeah.
I almost thought she wasn't tough enough. She wasn't, but I don't know. I don't know how much she knew about him at that point.
She was obviously familiar with him because I think she had seen his papers, and she talked about seeing his home movies. You know, because he was recording everything that he did. So obviously there had been some review process. She was familiar with him, but she wanted to find out what kind of person he was, right?
Right.
She did that whole pen test.
Yeah, and it also sort of reflected the interrogation with Bobby Morse and Bakshi.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was that same kind of get in your head kind of interrogation where you're not necessarily looking for what it seems you're looking for, you mm-hmm. know. They're trying to go for something else, which they seem to do a lot in the Marvel universe. You know, same thing
right.
that Black Widow did, right?
Right, right. One thing I noticed, and so the first scene where Carter is interrogating Reinhardt. She has the pen down. He's like, oh, very good. You know, the pen can be used for so many things. And he does that whole bit. And the pen's sitting on the table between them. Well, when they cut in for close-ups of everybody, and then they cut back to the wide shot, and the pen is missing.
Oh, geez.
Now, I couldn't tell if Peggy had picked it up because she was writing in her notes, or if we were even supposed to notice that, or if it was just a mistake because I was like, okay, so he leaves the pen there. She comes in. He hasn't touched the pen, you know, and that answers her questions. And, you know, he's like, oh, obviously you're trying to find out about me. And then all of a sudden the pen's missing in the next shot. And I'm like, oh, crap, who took the pen? Where's the pen? I'm worried that Reinhardt's grabbed the pen and he's going to, like, stab somebody. Or, you know, that's at that point, you know, because he's talking about suicide and homicide and all that kind of stuff. Nothing happened with that, though. I hope it was like a mistake kind of thing because I'd hate for them to, I'd hate to think that they were trying to set me up to feel that kind of anxiety and then not it off.
Yeah. Or that she took the pen. That wasn't necessarily a mistake. They just didn't show her take the pen.
Right. Cause it was hard to tell. Cause I mean, they really did go in for those tight close-ups of the actors. But, I think it was the second interrogation where she comes back to him and, you know, she's like, oh, you know, good. We've got more information or something like that. And he's like, and it seems like he thinks that they're going to sign him and put him on, you know, building rockets or whatever, you know, like all the other German scientists. And she's like, no, we're not going to let anyone go. As soon as I leave, no one else is coming back ever. And, you know, he's like, what? You could tell that he was like freaking out about that, which was really interesting because at that point I'm like, wow, what are the, you know, so how are they going to show this, you know, what happens here? And I thought they did a really nice job of doing the time lapse
Oh, yeah, that was cool. I really like that.
So they show, yeah, they show the books and him and the way the cell changes, so you can see that it upgrades over time, which I thought was really neat. The one thing I did not like was his old age makeup.
Yeah.
It looked poor. It
looked like old age makeup.
Yeah. Well, and the fact that, you know, he's supposed to not... I mean, he goes back to being his current self or his, you know, whatever, 1940s version of himself or something like that. What were your thoughts about what he got from this woman when he cut her up? So he takes the they find this woman, and she's able to touch the diviner, and then he gets captured. But when he gets released 44 years later by what was he said, Pierce, right?
Yeah.
From the character from Winter Soldier, right? Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Right.
They find this woman again, and she hasn't aged a bit. And so then he starts doing experiments on her, right? Because his continued phrase, discovery requires experimentation. What did he do to be able to get this fountain of youth from her?
How did he get the youth from her? I want to. My first thought was that it was similar to the GH 325. I had some right numbers in there. That it was similar to that, you know, where they had whatever she had in him. But then, you know, as he was very graphically cutting her up and investigating, and wow, that was a really intense scene. I got to thinking maybe it was some other things that he did and surgically had himself enhanced. And do you remember? Did you watch the show Heroes?
Yes.
So at least for the first season when it was actually good.
Yes. I have that on DVD.
So do I. They never told you how Siler would take people's powers. He would always just, you know, he'd cut their heads open and do something to them with their brain. But they never told you how he got their powers.
Right.
You know?
He just acquired them.
Yeah. Yeah. So then I kind of got that feeling from it. Like, they didn't really show how he did it. But I mean, my first guess would it was something like the GH325 and that 325.
That was my thought as well. Just due to the fact that if there's an alien and the whatever fluids they pull out of him, it allows people to, you know, come back from the dead, basically, and heal themselves, then if these humanoid, human-looking individuals are offshoots of that species in some fashion or have a portion of that genetic material within them, wouldn't their fluids do similar things, but just not to the extent? It would be like a watered-down version, I guess.
Maybe.
The one thing that I found, this is what I was focusing on. So he wears glasses in the olden days and speaks with a really heavy German accent, which I thought was nice. So in the 40s, he has the heavy German accent. Well, even in the 80s.
In 89. I noticed that. I was going to mention something about that, but go ahead.
Yeah, he has that heavy German accent. But then once he took on the new persona of Whitehall, Daniel Whitehall, he worked to lose it. But there's still just every now and again, just a little hint of a German accent that he's got.
Yeah.
Just in certain words that he was saying, I would notice.
Do you think that he lost the German accent to get that new persona? My thought, though, he'd been around so long and studying and just sitting in the prison that he's gradually lost it. But then in 1989, he still had it, just as thick as he had it before. So, yeah, you're probably right. That's probably why
I think he lost it on purpose so he could take that new persona and not have people question and go, wow, you sound like a German, right? So you sound like a bad movie German.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
I was wondering if people walk around the street saying that every once in a while. Wow, you sound like a German. but it would sever another piece of evidence to the connection of him being Reinhardt if anybody still knew that. But what were you going to say about his glasses? Were you wondering why he still had the glasses? Or
yeah, so, you know, he then gets young again. Like, he was wearing the glasses the entire time. He gets young again. I'm like, oh, shouldn't he just not have the glasses now? But then I remember that he wears the glasses in the future, you know, or in the present. But I guess that would make sense if he rolled his body back to however old he was in the 40s. He needed glasses then, so he still needs glasses.
Yeah,
probably just a different prescription.
My first thought wasn't that he wouldn't have needed the glasses, you know, because you never know why he needs them. But my first thought was you don't change the style of the glasses. You know, if you're trying to change who you are, you know, maybe get some horn rim ones or some, you know, I don't know, just something
with square ones
with a wire frame. You know, just stick with the evil German, you know, doctor scientist glasses, and somebody's going to figure it out.
Yeah. I don't know. That's what I chose to focus on.
So he got released by Hydra, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so he's doing all this work for the last, 25 years.
Right.
And has he been rising through the ranks of Hydra? So is he in charge right now?
That's what it seems like, or at least while... I guess due to something Bakshi said in the last episode, because he said that Strucker was in Europe, meaning Baron von Strucker, who is probably the head of Hydra. So, I mean, Whitehall's like the acting leader, at least here. And
he's the vice Hydra?
He's what?
The vice Hydra.
The vice Hydra?
He's head number two.
Well, that's the other thing. It's like they do have these different cells, right? So, I mean, he's obviously leading his own group, and he may not really be, as far as he's concerned, he probably is in charge. And there are probably other groups. You know, Pierce was probably leading a group. You've got Strucker leading a group in Europe. So, and that's kind of the whole point of Hydra. It's got all these little clusters, you know, these little individual heads, as you will, to, you know, keep the mission going, and nobody really knows what else is going on. It's the compartmentalization kind of stuff that S.H.I.E.L.D. had going as well, I guess.
Right.
So he is moving on with, you know, finding out more about this obelisk diviner object, which we got a lot more information on. So that device also was buried at some point, or at least... kind of metaphorically, it had been in a box in a S.H.I.E.L.D. storage facility since, we're going to assume at this point, 1945, from the season opener here for season two, when we saw Carter seal it up. Because if you recall, they sealed the box with, I don't know, you know, some kind of metal, or welded it or shut or something like that. And then Lucy Lawless actually, you know, opened it up again. So it appeared that it hadn't been touched in the in-between time. So with that going, we found out that it's not just a weapon, which I never thought it really was a weapon. I just thought it was kind of defending itself. But we find out that Reinhardt really thinks in super scientific terms. I mean, everything had to be scientific. It wasn't just, you know, he didn't believe something just because he could, though he does seem to have beliefs, which is kind of weird. I don't know. It's, you know, he was very scientific minded when he needed to talk about how the obelisk worked and testing everybody and stuff like this. But, you know, he also had these other kind of beliefs that he mentioned. So I'm not sure what to make out of that.
He has a belief of why these aliens have come. Right? And that seems to sort of tie with his, I don't know, his, not religion, you know, I mean, it's not so much a religion, just sort of his philosophy.
His dogma, maybe?
Yeah. There you go. His dogma. That's perfect. Right? And it doesn't go along with what the doctor has said. And it also doesn't go along with what the young woman, was it the young woman? No. That he was
the Asian
saying,
lady, right?
Yeah. I think he was telling someone that, I think he was telling a doctor, right? That they said that these visitors had come, and it was like three different versions of the same story.
Right. Well, so we know that Raina's grandmother, I think, told her a story about angels or something along those lines. Basically, a fairy tale about these where she came from or something like that. Skye's heard something, I believe, at least in terms of her life. And then Reinhardt put together this whole story about these blue angels that fell to Earth in the East, which I wasn't sure if it was supposed to just be some sort of, you know, oh, is that the way that they are just saying that it's aliens coming out of the sky, or is it supposed to be more? Because we talked about this alien being older than the pyramids, and they talked about him being a couple, a couple thousand years old. I didn't know if this was supposed to be like a Christ metaphor in some way as well, or if they were trying to, or if they were just, you know, saying, you know, when, you know, aliens fall, they talk about, you know, it's the gods coming down and doing things or whatever.
Sure, sure. But what I thought was interesting was that each story kind of fit in with the person's philosophies and, like you said, dogma, and it mm-hmm. fit very much so with what Reinhardt would have sort of seen. You know, he said they were not conquerors, right? That's what the doctor said. He said they were.
Oh, right. Well, no, it was the word that Reinhardt said. The word in the story that he had heard was that these aliens or whatever they were had come to conquer man. And the doctor scoffed at that. He's like, conquer? Is that what you heard? You must have gotten a bad translation. The word is end. They were going to end mankind.
Right. And so, you know, and that goes along with that very Hydra-esque, Nazi-esque kind of idea of conquering.
Oh, I see where you're going. Okay, yeah. Yeah. And the doctor's is just, no, it's going to end man. And he has a very different attitude towards the people that disrupted his family.
Right.
Which we find out a little bit more. I'm going to circle back around to that one. We find out that the obelisk also is possibly a key. And now when you take the obelisk to the city, there are a lot of specifics here, right? It's like, find this magic city, take the obelisk into the temple, and then that will...
And then roll your dice and find out if you have defeated the golem inside.
I forgot to equip my armor. I think I'm dead. So here's my... Now, I was going to say theory, but my wife's been getting on me. When I say theory, I mean like speculation, and what I really should be saying is hypothesis. Because what I have found out, my wife's a scientist, so a theory is something that is proven and repeatable, but a hypothesis is a speculation or a guess on what is going to happen based on the knowledge of certain facts.
Right. So, and which is also different than a prediction, which is what you predict is what you think is going to happen without having prior knowledge necessarily.
Right, and probably no knowledge, I would think. So I think what we do in our podcast is we hypothesize.
I agree with that.
But theory is such an easy word to say.
Easier than hypothesis?
Hypothesis. So my hypothesis, my speculation is that... So they got this key, right, which was with the alien, right? The alien has built in his DNA this homing pigeon-like ability to find this city. Now, we had speculated last show, or at least I did, that the city may not actually even be on the planet Earth. Well, that does not appear to be the case. It looks like it is. Because I saw previews for next week's show where they appear to be at a city.
I thought you weren't going to be watching these previews anymore.
I just, you know, they boom, they just pop them up. It's hard. It's hard not to watch those.
It is. It gets me excited.
I just want to keep going.
It gets
me
excited about it. I like watching them.
It is exciting, but I also, you know, I want to discuss stuff as honestly as possible on the show here. And I don't want, you know, if I know, like, what's happening three episodes down the road, which I don't, you know, it's, it just feels like I'm cheating.
Sure.
People don't
like to be spoiled, but.
So I try not to do that. But anyway, So I think what's going to happen is let's see. Well, who's got the obelisk now? So Reinhardt's group has the obelisk, but Coulson's group has Sky. And so something's going to happen, and they're going to use the obelisk to get into the temple, and I believe there's a Stargate or something inside that would take the alien back to his home world. And I think what's going to happen is some of the team is going to disappear. And maybe with the doctor or and some, I don't know. I mean, that's, I really hadn't gone too much further with that because who knows what they're going to do. But something really crazy, I will guarantee that something really crazy and infuriating, you will be screaming at your television at the end of the next episode. And you'll have to realize it's going to be 3 months before you get a resolution to that plot line.
And your predict-a-potha theory, that's just based on what you kind of think is going to happen, what we've seen so far, right? Not anything you know about.
I do not know. No, I don't know anything about this other than what I saw in the little bits of preview.
Now, we do know, and I'm not going to say it, don't worry, but we do know who the alien is. We do know that. That's been revealed.
Yeah.
It is on the internet.
Yeah, the producers have come out and said and have confirmed what, not who the, like, what species the alien is.
Well, yeah, not
that?
Like, you know, Carl the alien, but I mean,
it's
like
Elvis.
Yeah, but the species of alien. So,
right.
So we could, again, this would all still be speculation, but we could kind of speculate based on what we know from the comic book universe, which isn't necessarily the same as what we're going to get here, but. So are you're thinking like a Stargate thing, kind of like the Rainbow Bridge? Is that what they call it in the movie Thor?
Right. The Rainbow Bridge to Asgard.
Right. Okay. So something kind of like that.
Possibly. I don't know. Just boom, flash, and I think it's going to look like people got vaporized or something like that. I think it's going to be like because, and I want to get into talking about the Doctor a little bit next, but. He has some very specific words that he says. He talks about, Whitehall was saying, how do I know you're not just going to get the power for yourself? Like, you know, it's like, I'm going to give you a squad of men and everything like that. And he says, oh, because I have nothing. I have nothing left to lose. They've taken everything from me. They, you know, and what he really means is you, because I think the Doctor totally knows who killed his family.
Oh, yeah.
That young woman is supposed to be his wife, a.k.a. Sky's mom. That's not her name. Every time we say Sky, that is not her name. We have to add that part, I think.
Okay.
I think that's not her name. Actually, I think that's alien for her name. I mean, I think it's just the way we pronounce it.
That's not her name? That's not her name?
That's not her name.
Okay, not
right.
Her
that's
name.
It's spelled weird, but it sounds like that's not her name. Anyway, boy, I'm kind of all over the place here tonight. So the Doctor says that he's going to join his family, and Whitehall's like, join your family? And then there's this pause, and it's like one of those afterthoughts, it seems like, with the Doctor, where he's like, oh, yeah, in the afterlife. I'm like, dude, that's what you call it, but, like, what are you talking about? You're just saying in the afterlife. You know, it's the same kind of thing where he's like, how's it going, Phil? Oh, I should not have called you Phil. That was not good. I shouldn't have said that.
Well, he also...
Go ahead.
Well, the Doctor, when he was talking to Whitehall at the end, he also said something about, you know, always looking your enemy in the eye. And then he just stares at Whitehall.
And Whitehall kind of gives him a little nod back. It's like, does Whitehall, like, understand? Do you get this, dude? He's like, he's gunning for you.
I don't think he knows.
Because it all starts really coming together. I don't know who is conning who here. So what we seem to know, just kind of... you know, from the past up through the present, Reinhardt finds this woman, wants to experiment on her because she can touch the obelisk without issue, and then he gets captured, put in prison, finds her again later, tortures her slash, you know, cuts her up, may have been the person that Whitehall was referring to in one of the previous episodes from this season, where he said he once kept a woman alive for like a week while he tortured her. I think it was when he was brainwashing Agent 33 in that one episode. So I don't know about that. And then they dumped the body, and a very young-looking Kyle MacLachlan, which was an amazing special effect, because I for a minute thought that they actually got some older footage of Kyle MacLachlan and used it in this episode. That's how, like, shocking I thought it was. Finds this young woman dead and freaks out. And that was in 1989, 25 years ago, so I think we are supposed to again assume that that is Skye's mom, and that the raid on the village, which he thinks S.H.I.E.L.D. agents killed the... Well, sorry. The myth is that a monster destroyed the village and they rescued the baby or something like that, I think. And I think S.H.I.E.L.D. agents took the baby, but I think it was the Nazis or the, you know, the Hydra S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, which would be indistinguishable from S.H.I.E.L.D. S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, you know, destroyed the people in the Hunan province there, which drove Skye's dad insane, if he wasn't already going off the deep end. Now, he appears to age. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, you mean from the past?
From
when
the 1989 piece to now.
Well, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm just saying that because...
Oh, I know. Oh, I gotcha.
The
okay.
woman didn't.
Right. So why did he? So maybe she has
kind.
Something special that he...
Love affair. I don't
know. Okay, now I have two questions about that. Now, first of all, going back to Reinhardt, / Whitehall, when he took whatever he had from this woman and, you know, kept himself alive or young or, you know, we don't really know. He's younger. I don't know if he's, like, immortal or whatever.
Right. Yeah, because we don't know if he's really aging now in the last 25 years. It's not. It may have slowed his whole process down.
Right. So does he now have the ability to touch the obelisk? Because she did. Okay.
Interesting.
Now, the other thing... That
it would Coulson at that point then.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point. I hadn't thought about Coulson too, so or any of those guys, like Mr. Thompson from last week. But
he did give him a card. See, now I didn't get into that last week, but watching it again over the last weekend, I was like, he gave that card. Like they're going to call him for welding repairs at some point, and they're going to bring that guy back into it. I don't know.
They might. So let's see. What was I going to say for the other thing? So can he touch the obelisk now? And oh, no, I forgot. But I'll come back to it. I wanted to know if Reinhardt had the ability to touch it now. And what I was going to say was the doctor. He said that the obelisk was a diviner for the aliens to find someone who's worthy. Okay.
Right. So, well, it divines who is worthy.
Correct. So now, wait a minute. Does this woman actually have some sort of alien DNA or alien, you know, ancestors or whatever? Or is there just something about her that's different, that's worthy as a human? If the aliens are looking
for
human beings that are worthy as opposed to... Oh, right.
Well, in 44 years, she didn't age.
But why?
So there's something going on.
Did that have something to do with aliens, or did that have something to do with, you know, her? Now,
really good water?
But we're seeing, like, you know, in this show, are we seeing the introduction of different kind of powers? And I don't know what you want to call it. You know, they call it different things, metahumans and mutants. And are we seeing something akin to that? In this, so she's not necessarily alien in origin or has connection to aliens, but she has powers of some kind, and the aliens were looking for people like that, for human beings like that. Does that make sense? And this obelisk was a diviner that was looking for that. It was looking for the powers.
Well, Yeah, I mean, she looks human, but she hadn't aged, apparently, I mean, in 44 years. So I think there's a, I think there's something else going on there. You know, there's, some hybridization of some kind or something like that.
So you think she's still got some sort of connection to the aliens of some kind?
Yeah, and again, I have to draw in a little bit from the comics in this, just in the fact that they're, at some point in the history of the Marvel Universe, these aliens experimented on humans to create an evolutionary offset, basically, that could be triggered, you know, would have powers or something that would trigger, and of course they just aged and lived differently than, you know, normal humans and stuff like that. So
okay.
But, you know, again, we don't really have anything. All we know is, wow, okay, so no. Here's someone that didn't age. And
Well, my hypothesis came strictly from the word diviner. So that's when the doctor said it was a diviner, that's what made me think of it.
Okay. So let's see. Was there anything else I want to talk about with that? I think that's it right now. So going back to just talking about things that were buried, we've kind of glossed over it here, but the secret of the city was buried within this alien, kind of within the DNA, right? So they had to uncover that. The secrets of life extension were buried within the woman, so Reinhardt had to go digging for that. So there was all sorts of, you know, just layers and layers of, you know, metaphor and story elements and stuff within this, the alien Nazi, stories here this week, which was cool. We got a lot, you know, there's tons of backstory, a lot of flashbacks. It's given us a lot more meat to chew on, but I don't know that I'm really seeing complete answers still for any of this. The doctor is still kind of a wild card. That's what I was going to get into. So the doctor appears to be mad at Whitehall because he knows that he was the one that killed his wife. So even though he has presented himself, it's like, oh, you know, here's the diviner and stuff like this. The doctor doesn't seem to really give Whitehall any extra information. You know, he wanted a team, and Whitehall was like, well, where are you going to go look for the city? And he's like, oh, I don't know. I guess we kind of have to look everywhere. Yet, who was waiting in Australia for Coulson and team? He knew exactly where to go and what to do. And do you think that's because the Hydra knew something, or is that because the doctor really knows exactly where everything is, and he's just kind of playing along because he wants to make sure that Coulson's team gets there because, of course, they will bring his daughter with them.
That's a good thought. My question about that part was, I'm sure he knew that Coulson was getting there. I like your theory that the doctor knows. But how did he know that they were coming then? How did he know they were going to be there at that time? Because they had to be there at a very specific time. Then I got to wondering if there's somebody in S.H.I.E.L.D. right now that is communicating with this doctor, or he's somehow got inside information about what they're doing. But, geez, only Coulson seemed to know what was going on, so I'm not sure where he would be getting that from, though.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Okay, so let me revisit one of my speculations from last week about, did Coulson let Ward go? All right, this would have been from, like, 2 weeks ago, I guess. Did Coulson actually let Ward escape? Had Coulson and Ward been in some other kind of contact, is Ward really what we see? And by gosh, after this week's episode, I'm like, this guy is stone cold. He is, oh my God, he is a horrible, horrible person. And I also tweeted, I fear that Brett Dalton is going to, do something bad to our hero characters in S.H.I.E.L.D., but I love seeing him be bad like this. It is just, this is such a more interesting character than the Grant Ward we got last season.
Completely.
But what surprised me is that Ward then goes to try to get a job with Whitehall. taking over sort of as the new Bakshi, right? So he shipped off Bakshi to Coulson. Why? Why would he do that? They got all sorts of information from Bakshi. Ward now ingratiates himself with Bakshi. We never saw Ward kill his brother. We never saw Ward do anything other than kind of beat the crap out of his brother and get this confession from him, which half the time, I got to tell you, I was believing that maybe Christian was telling the truth.
I was too.
I don't know who to believe anymore, Josh.
Well, that's how good Brett Dalton is playing this. That's how crazy he seems. I mean, he's so straight when he acts about it. You're like, well, geez, I don't know. Maybe he was a kook the whole time. After he confessed, I believed him, though. After Christian Ward confessed, I believed it.
Yeah, I did, too. I did, too. And then I was like, you know, he's like, all right, buddy, come on, let's go get a drink or whatever. And I'm like, oh, that's creepy. But okay. And then, you know, then we find out that he died in this attempted or this presumed murder-suicide, but, you know, it would have been Grant that killed them. And, you know, remember, Ward talked about having lit his family's house on fire as a youth, and that's what got him put into juvie that Garrett rescued him from. And then he set this other fire, supposedly. So I'm wondering if that really happened. Well, I mean, obviously the fire happened, but is it not just more of an elaborate ruse? Or is Ward working with the doctor in some fashion? And are they in cahoots? And is Ward still working with Coulson in some fashion? Is he like a triple agent? And if so, sent Bakshi back, you know, to give the team information. And now he's ingratiating himself into Hydra even deeper so that they can destroy it from the inside. I don't know what to believe. There's so many possibilities here, which is exciting.
Yeah, and you said, you know, that we didn't see him kill his brother, which my first thought was maybe he did not do it. Maybe it really was a murder-suicide. He knew the confession that he had. You know, he knew the confession that he had given to Grant.
It was taped. So, I mean, obviously, I think Grant recorded Christian's confession and then planted it there. Because how else would they have that recorded voice for the news report?
Yeah.
I don't know. So the well was buried in this episode, which was basically the sins of Christian and Grant's past. And now basically Ward, if he did kill his brother and his parents and burn their house to the ground, that just leaves, I think it's Tommy, who is the younger brother. I think he's the only one still around, if I recall. But basically, Grant's buried his entire past now. Like, he has no past. Because everything and anyone that he's worked with is gone. Garrett's gone. His family's gone. His connections to S.H.I.E.L.D. is gone. He's a blank slate. And if he really is everything as it seems on the surface here, he is really evil. Evil.
If it's everything it seems on the surface, then yes, he is evil. And if it is everything it seems on the surface, then I will be very disappointed, because then they're just throwing it right at us. I would rather think there's something deeper going on that we don't know. But
well,
you know,
sorry, go ahead.
No, that's okay. You had one more point, and then I'll make my other point.
Okay,
relates to that one.
Because in last week, when he was packing up his bag, you know, with the newspaper and everything, and all the weird other stuff that was kind of seen in the bag, behind him were giant cans of gas and a shovel. I mean, I'm just thinking now. He planned. You know, he knew he was going to have his brother dig the well out. That's cool, and because we knew he was going to do something with his brother. But I mean, I think he knew he was going to burn the house down, too. I think that was foreshadowed there with those elements in the hotel room. Remember,
oh,
I talked
yeah.
about that. So.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I hadn't made that connection from last week. Hey, you know, but just because we discovered that Christian Ward was the psycho doesn't mean that he's not.
Yeah. Oh, another interesting thing about this is Christian Ward uses the same phrase that Grant used last week, where he's talking to his mistress on the phone. He says, "Did you get my present?" Which is the exact same way that Grant said it to Sky, talking about Bakshi, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was a nice little bookend, though.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because it was also a present that was, what would you call it? I don't know, nefarious. I mean, Grant's present was, hey, this Hydra guy that I beat up and gave to you as a prisoner to use however you want, and Christian's present was to his mistress, you know.
right, something that was see-through.
what must Christmas be like at the Ward house?
Yeah. Dysfunctional. Well, the other thing that I just want to talk about here before we finish up is that was buried is not very obvious, but again, I kind of feel like putting all this stuff together is that Bobby and Lance seem to have these feelings for each other still, and I feel they've really buried those down. It's Hunter seems to take it as anytime she says anything, he's just arguing with her and berating her. And then, you know, it changed so quickly where he's just like, you know, I'm never going to trust you, but I'm always going to, you know, I'm always going to try to trust you or something like that. And then cut to they're making out and then hopping in the car. That was great.
That was good. It was good. I like those two a lot. And considering they are very new characters to this series, I really love. I love where they're going with them.
It's a. Have you seen the Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie film, Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
I haven't. I haven't seen the whole thing, but I know what it's about.
Yeah. So basically, they're two spies that are married to each other, but neither knows that the other is the spy for their, you know, opposite organization. And as soon as they find out, they just hate each other. But it's that, well, they had been pretending to love each other for so long that there really was something there. But there's some great just quips when they are trying to keep it together. And it's a lot like how Lance and Bobby behave in the episode here. Also, let me just ask you this. So since I'm talking about Bobby, when she was doing Bakshi's interrogation and he then, you know, starts to like step up midway through and say, well, you know, wouldn't it be a shame for people to find out what you did in Hydra? You know, we'd hate for that stuff. You know, basically he's trying to blackmail her.
Sure.
During the interrogation. Do you think she really pushed him over the edge? Or do you think she was really just, she thought she was going for, quote, the win on getting the information from him and, you know, didn't realize that he had the, capsule in him or whatever. Do you think that was purposeful or just unlucky?
Like do you mean like she was trying to make it go that far?
Yeah,
with him?
Lance basically intimated that you pushed him so far, you knew he was going to snap and do something like that. You don't try to take his life or something like that because you were afraid. She, Bobby, was afraid that, he was going to spill the beans about something that she had done that she didn't want the S.H.I.E.L.D. folk to know
about. I don't
know.
I think maybe he maybe. I would hate to think that that's what she's like, but it did seem that like a possibility. But I also think maybe she was just pushing him to get as much as she possibly could, and she just pushed it just a touch too far. But I don't know.
Do you think she's brainwashed?
I don't think she's brainwashed. Okay. A little worried about Simmons, though.
Right. That scene was interesting, and also the fact that I agree with you on that. I don't think Bobby's brainwashed, but I am concerned about Simmons. My reasoning for why I don't think Bobby is brainwashed is because she uses the term back to Bakshi. Compliance will be rewarded?
Yes.
She says that back to him, and she says it like a question, and she's like, no? Really? Okay. And then she kind of moves on. But, if you can't tell, the show makes me anxious. And it's a good thing. They've set up enough distrust. It's like, I don't know who's being straight when. Even if we go back and it's like, okay, well, there was nothing that happened with this whole, this storyline. Like, maybe we'll look back in a season and go, oh, yeah, Simmons was undercover. She just, did her job. And there was never anything that came from that. But right now, we just don't know. And, who knows? Maybe in 3 years that something will trigger her programming and, we'll find out that she was brainwashed maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm thinking that Coulson was in contact with Simmons enough they might not have had time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But she would probably be easier to brainwash than some people. So
yeah.
You never know that it could come into play and Bobby Morse may have something more. I think she does have something more that we don't know about yet. There's something there that's going to affect everything. But now that you kind of went through everything that was buried, I wanted to just make a quick point about all that.
Okay.
I agree with you that all of that was buried.
Yes.
But in this episode, I would argue that all of it became unburied.
Yes.
They unburied Reinhardt. The obelisk had been unburied. The secrets of the cities got unburied. The secrets of the life extension from the woman, they were unburied by Reinhardt. The well
mm-hmm.
was actually literally and figuratively unburied.
Yes.
And even, Bobby and Lance's feelings that had been buried were very clearly unburied, undressed, undone, sweated out, all kinds of things. So to me, like, the things that we bury was the, I guess, the overall outline of this episode. Mm-hmm. But the theme was unburying all that.
Uncovering, discovering.
Uncovering it. Discovering, yeah. Undoing. I looked up the thesaurus. There are too many.
Well, Whitehall was right. The things that get buried don't stay buried forever. And that's just a truism, I think. Who is it in Raiders of the Lost Ark? It's like, if we bury this watch in this sand, this watch is worthless now, but we bury it in the sand, and 100 years from now, it's worth billions of dollars. So, that was a horrible Belloc, but and also this was an episode about characters getting second chances. They talked about Bakshi having a second chance. We're not really sure what that entailed. We saw Whitehall getting his second chance. He gets to be able to live again. And Ward appears to be getting his second chance and moving in with Hydra. So he had, had one go around with Hydra and Garrett's team, and now he's re-ingratiating himself with Whitehall. So, this is a really nerve-wracking episode because it set up a lot of stuff. I think it opened, it gave us a lot of answers, but it also opened the door for a lot of other weird questions here that I think we've stumbled on. And hopefully in 2 weeks when we come back for the next episode, we'll be able to have some more information and, can kind of put some more puzzle pieces together. But I'm sure we'll also be banging our heads on the table trying to figure out how they're going to get out of whatever situation they're in, because it will seem hopeless, I'm sure.
Well, I certainly hope so.
Yeah.
Because that makes it much more interesting.
It will be much more interesting to discuss then, I guarantee that. One quick reference I wanted to point out to everybody. We had the Hulk's son in this episode, Lou Ferrigno Jr., who actually was on another show that I used to watch, How I Met Your Mother. I believe he was a bartender on several episodes. He played Agent Hauer, the one that came in to free Whitehall and told him, "Hail Hydra." So
what?
Hulk
that's Jr.
Cool.
is Hydra?
Yeah. Oh, and actually, Lou Ferrigno is still doing work in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He had provided the voice for the Hulk in the Avengers film, I found out.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, well, or, you know, the sound effects. I mean, because Hulk really didn't talk too much, I guess. But, no. He did. He said, it, like, puny god and stuff like that. So, anyway, boy, that was... The episode on the show went fast, and I think our podcast just kind of raced by here because I think that's all we've got for this week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files.
Yes, and it was a blast again talking about this show is really ramping up and getting good. So we hope you enjoyed listening to us talk about this episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And if you enjoyed listening to us, please leave us some feedback on iTunes. You can also contact us at email, shield@randomchatter.com, or on Twitter, @agentspodcast, or you can check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/agentspodcast.
You can also check out the other shows that Josh and I do, including Green Justice and Arrow podcast and Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast, via randomchatter.com. Also, join us during the hiatus for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. when we will be doing Agent Carter Case Files, and that will also be available on this feed. So you can just stay right here, and you'll get all those episodes as well. All shows are also available on the iTunes Store or through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And if you enjoy this podcast, please be sure to tell your friends about us, because we'd really love to expand our base. And the feedback we get from people say, you know, that they enjoy us, and so I'd love to, you know, share what we've got with a lot of other people. So for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, this is Jay.
And this is Josh.
Signing off from Level 7. This podcast is not endorsed by ABC Television or Marvel Entertainment. The official website for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can be found at www.agentsofshield.com. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and related elements are copyright Marvel Entertainment, LLC.
Transmission terminated.